lot of hits.
With a man like
he had a lot of hits. That's Captain and Tennille. Daryl Dragon, the captain, passed away, and he was one of three big celebrity deaths that took place yesterday. One being another one being Super Dave Osborne, and of course Mean Gene Okerlund. And we're going to start with talking about Mean Gene and playing a little bit of Mean Gene's work. If you want to jump in here, if you have any thoughts about any of these guys, and we're talking about Mean Gene first. If you're a wrestling fan, you know the impact that Mean Gene Okerlund had in the world of wrestling. If you have any of your favorite memories or your favorite bits that they've done, you want to jump in. The text and talk lines are open at 312-981-7200. We'll take your text and your comments here on the phone as well. 312-981-7200. Now, I know Dan Long is in for Dan Chagoon. I know, Dan, you're a big wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah. So it's one of my guilty, kind of guilty pleasures in life.
You should not feel guilty. I'm telling you right now. Do not. You're in a safe zone to not feel guilty, my friend. I've been a pro wrestling fan my entire life. And what do you remember most about Mean Gene?
I was a little young for like the prime kind of Hulkamania
like the
80s
years. 80s stuff.
Yeah. But I remember the I remember his WCW work the best, most notably with the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He would sort of this is true for all of those guys. It was Gene's role to be the straight man and give the performer somebody to play off of.
Yeah. Yeah. And he did it masterfully. I mean, he was so great at it. And there were certain people that he worked with that just, it was real special, and one of them being Flair. And that run in the 90s, in the late 90s, when, Mean Gene would come out and actually stand in the ring. So they would cut their promos. They wouldn't do their promos backstage or film them like many wrestling. They would go right onto the ring and cut like a promo, and Mean Gene would be in the ring and interview. And all that whole series of that whole series and storyline where Ric Flair lost his mind and they put him in a mental institution, and he would come out like every Monday night, and he would take off his pants or get down to his boxers. He would elbow drop jackets and just scream like a maniac, and Mean Gene was supposed to react. He was like the conduit between the crowd and the wrestler.
Right.
Nobody did it better, man. Nobody. And so if you're a wrestling fan, Mean Gene Okerlund, 312-981-7200. Mean Gene Okerlund is the iconic WWE backstage interviewer who played a role in some of the biggest moments in pro wrestling history. He died on Wednesday. He was 76. Okerlund's son, Tor Okerlund, told the Associated Press that his father died early on Wednesday in a hospital in Sarasota, Florida, near his home in Osprey, Florida. His wife, Jeannie, was by his side. Tor Okerlund said his father, who had received 3 kidney transplants, fell a few weeks ago, and it just kind of went from bad to worse. Okerlund stood next to Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Randy Macho Man Savage, Andre the Giant, the Ultimate Warrior, and many others in the mid to late 80s, and teed up with the stars of that era to deliver some of their most memorable promos. In the mid-90s, Okerlund moved to rival WCW and stood in the ring as garbage rained down upon Hogan when he formed the NWO, one of the most classic moments in pro wrestling history. And of course, Gene was there. But that was that is, I think, without question, the greatest heel turn in the history of wrestling. To have all American, I am a real American, to have the Hulkster, go heel, and they played it perfectly. And that was at the time when Nitro was dominating Raw. Because that was the Monday Night Wars, during the classic Monday Night Wars. And that was at the time WCW was, the product was much better there. Which is why, like, Mean Gene went over there and Hulk Hogan went over there.
And it changed the business, because then it put the pressure on Vince McMahon to sort of make his product a little bit edgier. And then we got some of the, the most memorable stuff
that late 90s
period.
Well, that basically birthed the Attitude Era. Which is probably the most memorable era of WWE history.
Yeah.
with your Stone Cold Steve, like that basically the birth of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
But yes, but you know, he had a hand in all of that. Mean Gene had a hand in that and played things so perfectly. And I, you know, who he was a great announcer and a great interviewer, and he knew the business and he knew how to sell a story and he knew how to, like you said, to put over a wrestler and to put over a performer. He did it for everybody. He was great. You know, and apparently off camera, he was a fantastic, great guy. He enjoyed an adult beverage or two. Ric Flair, you said that Ric Flair said
There's, and I'm looking for a confirmation on this quote, but I do remember Flair did a podcast like a couple of years ago, and he was talking to Mean Gene, and they were just trading old stories of them closing down
so
Marriott hotel bars.
Yeah.
But I think, and Flair said, I believe Flair said, there's only one person in WCW that drank more than me, and it was Gene Okerlund, and he did it with three different kidneys.
Yeah, Mean Gene. The Mean Gene Okerlund, man. Yeah, he was the best. Let's see. A voice and soundtrack to an entire entire of our industry. He was the star of some of WWE's most memorable segments, and that's WWE Executive Vice President Triple H. He said on Twitter on Wednesday, Mean Gene was beloved by all who worked with him, and our thoughts are with his family at this difficult time. Wrestling stars, including Hogan, and remembered Okerlund with posts on social media. Hulk Hogan says, Mean Gene, I love you, my brother. Vince McMahon posted, it was impossible not to crack a smile whenever Mean Gene Okerlund entered a room. He was the voice behind so many of WWE's most iconic and entertaining moments, and the WWE family will miss him immensely. And Ric Flair says, one of my closest friends since 1972 until this very sad day in 2019. Not only the greatest voice and personality in the history of announcing, but a man who touched everyone's life, who was fortunate enough to have known him. Rest in peace, knowing no one will ever replace you. Yeah, they were really tight. Ric Flair and Mean Gene were really tight. You know what else was great? When they paired him up, like whenever Mean Gene would cross paths with Bobby Heenan, who is one of the greatest, one of the greatest on the mic in the history.
He was another guy that had chemistry with most of the people he worked with.
Oh my God! And he was such a great heel. I don't think he was ever face. I don't think Bobby the Brain Heenan was ever, maybe in his early days, because he was Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan. And he's Bobby the Brain Heenan, and everybody kept calling him Bobby the Weasel. He actually started as a wrestler, then he ended up being a manager, and he was one of the greatest managers in the history of wrestling. He was one of the most entertaining and hilarious managers in the history of wrestling. And then, went to announcing and doing interviews and stuff. But he and Mean Gene had a great chemistry as well. You put those two together, and it was great. And Jim Ross, as you know, Jim Ross. You've interviewed Jim Ross.
Yes.
And I had the pleasure of meeting him and interviewing him as well. So sad to hear the sudden passing of my dear friend, Gene Okerlund. I saw Mean Gene in North Carolina at WrestleCade. It's so true that our tomorrows are never guaranteed. Say hello to Jan Mean Gene. And these are some of the tweets and posts that people in the wrestling industry put up. Do we have a little audio of Mean Gene?
We do, yeah. I think we could start. This is an older clip.
Okay.
I think it may be even like pre or around the first WrestleMania, because it deals with Wendy Richter, who was like, she's like the main women's wrestling draw.
Wendy Richter.
I'll just pull. It kind of stands on its own.
Oh, so it's just a no explanation.
Yeah,
this involves Wendy Richter and the first WrestleMania.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's take you now to Mean Gene Okerlund in a rather unusual set of circumstances. Let's take you to Mean Gene.
The wall, it remains to be seen. But I've got to say this: I think Mula's behind the whole thing.
Oh, I do too, and I know she's digging up girls from everywhere that want this belt. Every woman in professional wrestling wants my belt, but I want it too. And I had to fight inch for inch to get this, and I'm not about to lay down on my back and let someone cover me.
I thank you very much. We're gonna be right back.
Oh, Mean Gene. That was great stuff. If you guys want to jump in here, if you're wrestling fans and you have any memories or favorite things about Mean Gene Okerlund, who passed away yesterday, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Stone Cold Steve Austin says, just heard Mean Gene Okerlund has passed away. As an interviewer, pitch man, announcer, or host, he was untouchable. Simply the best. Total professional with a quick wit, sarcasm, humor, and that golden voice. Condolences to his family and friends. He got to work with Stone Cold quite a bit, too, Mean Gene. So, Do we have anything else?
Yeah, next we have, it's from SummerSlam sometime in the early 90s, and Mean Gene is doing a promo, and something falls behind him.
Oh, okay.
Gentlemen, as you know, the Ultimate Warrior has publicly stated that, damn it, who put that up? Is that $200 an hour?
There's like a sign on the wall, and it fell down on live TV. And I think
right in the middle of the promo.
Yeah, I think they accidentally aired it during the pay-per-view, too.
Oh, that's great. Is that worth $200 an hour? There's an example of what just the quick wit that he had that Stone Cold tweeted about. Kurt Angle said, very seldom does an interview become just as popular and at times even more popular than the superstars that he or she interviews. Gene Okerlund was that person. I'm saddened to hear of Gene's passing. It was an honor to know you, Gene. That's Kurt Angle. Jerry Lawler said, so sad to hear of the passing of my friend, Mean Gene Okerlund. I will always remember Gene with a smile on his face and a drink in his hand and always wanting to help. He was the voice of the WWE. Rest in peace, Gene. So... let's take a quick break, all right? When we come back, we'll finish talk more about Gene Okerlund, Gene, and I got much more from his obit here to talk about. And if you have any memories or you're a wrestling fan, let's talk a little bit about Mean Gene via talk or text. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. More after this. Taking you right back to the mid-70s when you turned on every single radio station on the dial and they were playing this song 15 times an hour. It's Captain and Tennille. We'll talk a little bit, read an obit, and talk a little bit about Daryl Dragon, the captain from Captain and Tennille, who passed away yesterday, along with Bob Einstein. And we're discussing the career of the great Mean Gene Okerlund, who was the greatest wrestling announcer and interviewer of all time and was present at some of the most historic moments in professional wrestling. We're listening to a little audio of him and talking about him. If you guys want to jump in with any thoughts on these three huge losses and deaths that took place in one day, in a matter of hours, it's okay. All of it exploded on social media and the internet with these three huge deaths. And we'll talk about all three of them, but we're talking about Mean Gene right now. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Mean Gene did return to the WWE fold upon the closing of WCW in a variety of roles and appearances. He was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2006, and he was inducted by Hulk Hogan. Okerlund's last WWE appearance came on January 22, 2018, so about a year ago, when he appeared on the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw, and he interviewed then WWE champion AJ Styles. His background is really interesting. He started as an interviewer in the Minneapolis-based American Wrestling Association before moving to the WWE in 84, in which his duties included All-American Wrestling, he hosted that, and Tuesday Night Titans, and serving as the lead locker room interviewer. Jesse Ventura, the great Jesse Ventura, is the guy who gave him the nickname. Jesse Ventura wrestled as The Body before he was elected governor in Minnesota, of course. Ventura told the Minneapolis Star Tribune reporter on Wednesday in an interview, he said, I laughably called him the Mean Gene Hot Air Machine. And the Mean Gene stuck. Ventura called Okerlund the best at what he did, the best straight man interviewer in wrestling history. In a 2015 interview with the Star Tribune, Okerlund credited the late pro wrestling pioneer Vern Gagne, the great Vern Gagne, for his start. Okerlund said that he worked sales in the television station where Gagne's AWA was based, and he had experience in radio. Gagne approached Okerlund in the hallway when the regular interviewer could not make a taping in the early 70s, and Okerlund recalled by saying, I said, Vern, I know zero about wrestling. And he said, do you have a suit and tie? That's all you need. There were a few bucks involved, so I dived in. That's how he got started. Vern Gagne knew nothing about wrestling, and that's how he got started. A great story. You know, it's always sad when someone dies, especially somebody who had kind of the impact on a lot of people's lives if you're a wrestling fan. I mean, Mean Gene, he's the man. He's the man. No, nothing but massive respect for the guy. Every wrestling fan from whatever age, you know, wrestling people have been wrestling fans for 40 years, and people have been wrestling fans for, you know, 3 years, know who Mean Gene is and respect what he did. He was one of the best in the business. Do we have any more?
Sure. Right. This one is a little bit longer just because it's the full promo where you kind of get the idea of his work with the Macho Man. And, yeah. Like, the only thing is, the thing about Gene and a part of what made him so great was kind of the subtle, like, looks he would give to the camera, yeah, and some of the physical stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the infamous cream of the crop promo where Savage is, like, using a little cup of coffee creamer as his prop, and he's putting it on his own head, and he slips it in Gene's pocket at one point. But you kind of see how Gene plays the straight man in this.
Yeah, all right.
It's a day that I'm certain my guest at this time will not forget. I'm talking about the former Intercontinental Champion of the World, Macho Man
nothing
Randy Savage.
Nothing means nothing.
Nothing
means nothing. Man.
Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
More. I'm talking about all the way to the top, yeah. Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah. Macho Madness, he has got more to offer than President Jack Tunney thinks that I got. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Cards stacked against the Macho Man Randy Savage in WrestleMania 3. Yeah, let me say it, yeah. Let me say it out loud. And let me point to the president of the World Wrestling Federation. The Macho Man Randy Savage is not happy with your decision, yeah. I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wait a minute.
And there is no doubt about it, yeah. You, Mean Gene Okerlund, you know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Wait a minute, though, Randy. I've got to ask you very seriously. Do you blame Mr. Jack Tunney, the distinguished president of the World Wrestling Federation, for Ricky Steamboat being the Intercontinental Champion today?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Outside interference, yeah. In my moment of glory. Yeah, no, I'm living in a nightmare. And I am the cream. And now, not only the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship belt must fall, but the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Because Hulk Hogan, yeah, I am the cream, yeah, the cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage. On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are, yeah. And I'm talking to everyone in the World Wrestling Federation. And I'm even talking to President Jack Tunney, yeah. I'm on my way. And nothing is going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me.
You know, just out of curiosity, Randy, and I certainly don't want to diminish your tremendous God-given talents, but I'm very curious. I haven't seen Elizabeth lately.
Yeah, she's on the outside of the ring. Does she interfere in matches? Yeah. Nothing, zero, yeah. Pure athlete, yeah. And I've been, maligned from the top to the bottom. And because they can't handle the Macho Man Randy Savage, the cream of the crop, nobody does it better.
There you go. God, you know, I haven't heard a full promo from Savage in a long time.
Man, good was Macho?
Needless to say, I mean, legendary, man. Legendary. Killed it every time. He was great in the ring, too. He was great in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
All of that Elizabeth stuff was fantastic, and how they used that as plot points. Oh, man. Amazing. Here's Donna on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Guys, you're forgetting Peggy Young died, and I love Neil Young's music, but I don't think what he did to her helped her health.
Mm. Oh, okay. Peggy Young, when did she passed away yesterday as well?
Yes.
Oh, well, she wasn't 76, was she? Because that would be very weird.
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know.
She was older than that, if I'm not mistaken. So, all right, Donna, thanks.
Okay.
Yes. 66.
66. Wow. Okay. All right. Here is John on WGN. Hey, John.
Nick, how are you?
Good.
I was up in Minnesota one time at a cable TV conference, and I was alone in a hotel room, and I had the TV on, and I saw an ad that me and Gene Okerlund cut up there. He was advertising an automobile dealership.
Uh-huh.
So, this is like around 1990, so, I mean, he must have got his roots up in Minnesota.
Oh, he did. That's where he started.
He worked for the Yeah, okay. So he did must have done some announcing for the AWA. The only time I ever saw him really kind of, well, I remember one time he was talking to Fabulous Moolah, and he had a baseball bat. I mean, he was trying to compare her to a bat. Because, you know, like the gruesome old bat.
Right, right.
Moolah made a comeback after she beat Wendy Richter.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
The only time I ever saw him kind of confused was right after WrestleMania 3. He held up a box set for WrestleMania, and it had Hulk Hogan on it, and I don't think everybody thought Hulk was going to win WrestleMania 3, but he lost.
Right. Right, right, right.
Can I say something about Daryl Dragon?
Yeah, go ahead.
He also played keyboards a little bit with the Beach Boys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was like a, you know, they started adding backup musicians, and he played on, I think he played live with them, and I think he was on the album Rock and Roll Music from 76.
I'm looking at the I'm looking at his obit, which I'm going to read in after the news. He was a classically trained pianist, it says here, was at home mostly behind the keyboards, and he was one of his early gigs was as a backup musician for the Beach Boys through the mid 60s and 70s. So yeah.
I didn't know he was there in the 60s.
Yeah.
I would have said in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
That was before the Captain Tennille became popular.
Yeah, because the Captain Tennille got huge in the mid 70s. That's when they really took off. So, all right, John, thanks for the call.
Yeah. Okay.
Take
bye.
Care. Mean Gene. All right. We'll wrap up the Mean Gene talk. If you want to get in here, we got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Got the news next here on WGN.
Okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world. Put that cigarette out.
Put that cigarette out. Classic. Good morning, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It's a Thursday morning here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell after this. We are remembering, three gentlemen who passed away yesterday, all at the age of 76. We are talking currently about Mean Gene Okerlund, one of the greatest voices and announcers and straight men in the history of professional wrestling. Daryl Dragon passed away, the captain of Captain and Tennille. We'll talk about him a little bit more. We've been hearing a little bit of the Captain and Tennille music this morning. And, finally, we're going to talk about Bob Einstein, who, was also known as Super Dave Osborne. One of the funniest people, to ever live. A great writer, a tremendous performer, a really terrific actor who got funnier as he got older, which doesn't happen very often. He is also the older brother of Albert Brooks. We're also going to play a scene from Modern Romance. He played a gym shoe salesman, a running shoe salesman in the movie Modern Romance. And it's one of the funniest scenes in any Albert Brooks movie. And we're going to play the scene, and it's funnier visually as well, but just listen to when we play the scene a little bit later on, listen to the timing that these guys had. I mean, they were brothers, and you know, the character that Bob Einstein played was just such a jerk, and would just basically fleeced Albert Brooks's character and made him buy a bunch of stuff he didn't need. So it's a brilliant scene. It's one of the funniest scenes ever. And it's because these two are so great. And it's also because Bob Einstein was fantastic. And Funkhauser, of course, everybody knows he played Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And as I said earlier, I do not believe we can play I don't think that any of that is airable for FCC violations. So, but anyway, we were just talking about Mean Gene, and we had some fun audio of him, of all the years of him doing such great work with many of the wrestling federations, and he got his start in Minnesota. And here's Wayne on WGN. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Well, just very interesting. I know we had a chance to update a little bit, but I had a little brush of fame with Mean Gene. I had a chance to meet him at a grand opening of a franchise restaurant that was a joint venture, I believe. Again, this is in Minnesota, up in northern Minnesota, Duluth area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Mean Gene's Burgers.
Mean Gene's Burgers.
Mean Gene's Burgers. And the theme on it, they had T-shirts that you could buy that said the burger that says "Bite Me." And I got to tell you, it was great food. It was a tremendous product. But the excitement that he put out was at the grand opening event that I had a chance in attending for our company.
Yeah,
there was a lot of the old hockey and wrestlers and a lot of those type of folks that were there at that event. I just remember meeting these people, and I was in awe.
Wow, that's great.
Being younger, I remember one of the things I remember the most about Mean Gene, he gave wrestling legitimacy. You knew that it got extreme and crazy, but he was such a straight man that he made you believe it was a real event. It was a authentic wrestling match, and I used to watch it with my dad.
Yeah, no, me too, and I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, and Mean Gene has basically been a part of it since as far back as I can remember, and he was always one of my favorites, and he was one of my favorites to watch, even though he wasn't a wrestler. You know, he was fantastic, and he was very funny on his own as well. So, yeah, I did not know. Thank you for the.
I think at the time when I was talking with him, what really shocked me is that he, from stature, he was not a big man. He was a smaller gentleman.
Yeah,
and but his voice made him such a huge. The aura about this gentleman was amazing.
Yeah. No question about it.
That's it. I just wanted to throw in a little bit.
No, I appreciate that.
Quite a character.
I had no idea, Wayne, about the Mean Gene's Burgers. That's a great story. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if I have some documentation or some fun stuff I can send you at some point, I will. I think you'd enjoy it.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. Have a great morning, okay?
You betcha. You betcha. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he spent some time in Minnesota. He just said, "You betcha, Dan." So, do we have any more Mean Gene, or are we done?
I'm trying to dice up one last Flair thing.
Oh, okay. Is it from what era?
It's
AWA?
No, WCW.
It's during the 90s?
Yeah, late 90s, 97, 98-ish. If I figure out how to cut it, it'll be worth it.
All right, well, we can play that a little bit later on. Meanwhile, let me just give you the obit for Daryl Dragon. And again, if you guys want to jump in here with anything, the text lines are open as well as the calling in. So get a text in here if you want, and we'll read it on the air. You can contribute that way. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So in addition to Mean Gene, we lost Daryl Dragon. One half of the popular 70s duo, The Captain and Tennille, died Wednesday, according to his publicist. He was 76. Dragon, whose ever-present captain's hat left no doubt about which half of the duo he was, died of renal failure in Prescott, Arizona. He was a brilliant musician with many friends who loved him greatly, Tony Tennille said in a statement. I was at my most creative in my life when I was with him. Tennille was at Dragon's side when he passed away, his publicist said. The duo's best-known songs include Muskrat Love, Do That to Me One More Time, and Love Will Keep Us Together. Dragon, a classically trained pianist who was most at home behind the keyboard. One of his early gigs was as a backup musician for the Beach Boys in the mid-60s and 70s, early 70s. Dragon and Tennille met in 71 when she hired him to play piano for a musical called Mother Earth. They married in 75, a year after they signed a deal with A&M Records. Their first album produced the hit single Love Will Keep Us Together, which enjoyed multiple weeks atop the Billboard chart. Dragon and Tennille separated in 2013 and finalized their divorce in 2014. They remained close friends. Dragon is survived by his older brother, Doug Dragon, two nieces, Kelly Arbaut and Renee Henn. Bull, the publicist, asks that any donation being made to Dragon's name be made in organizations doing research into brain disease and conditions such as Parkinson's disease or post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, if you were around in the 70s, the hugeness of Captain and Tennille is hard to describe. And Love Will Keep Us Together was a song that was everywhere, and I mean everywhere. And they had a very successful variety show. I'm trying to remember what network it was on. I think it was ABC. And they were hugely popular, and people loved them together and apart, and he had a very sort of kind of like a mysterious, weird, funny persona. And he never took off the hat. He always had the captain's hat on, and that was his thing. But they had huge celebrities on their variety show. I know it ran for a long time. I think it was on for a couple of years at least. And for a while, they were dominating, you know, primetime TV with their variety show. And they were massively huge on the Billboard charts with hit after hit after hit. And people loved them because they were married and they were a really cool couple. So it's sad. Daryl Dragon passed away. That's the captain, Captain Tennille, one of three big, big losses that took place yesterday. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We're going to do we have any more of the – did you finish up the clip?
Yeah, we could do this.
All right. So this is Mean Gene.
It's a little more long form, but so Mean Gene is in the ring with Ric Flair, who's feuding with Eric Bischoff, and he's unpacking a suitcase and talking about some of his custom-made threads. If I could find it.
All right. This is Flair, but Ric Flair, you know, for my money, the best ever on the mic. And when he would work with Mean Gene, it was great. And this was during a period of time when he's feuding with Bischoff. This was in the 90s of WCW, which I think was a great stretch for Flair. And to have him in the middle of the ring with Mean Gene basically every Monday
and playing off the crowd.
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody does it better than Ric Flair. All right. We got it?
This is how I travel, you jackass. I'm custom made from head to toe, have been, and always will be, you jackass.
Taking all of his clothes here, shirts,
suits, ties, that's me. I've lived the life of a king because the people have allowed me to. Woo!
I don't know what is the point? Whoa.
Right here. $2,000 alligator. It's yours. $30,000. It's a gold Rolex. It's yours. Hell, you see this?
Oh, my word. Did the guy snap?
$100 bill. It's yours.
Hey.
Yours.
God.
Yours. $3,000.
He's ripping up dollar bills.
Right.
Hey!
$100 bills.
A Gucci shoe. What is going on?
Bischoff! I ain't leaving.
Oh, wait a minute. We're in Baltimore. Just a second.
I'm not leaving Baltimore till you and I get something straight. I'm telling you, Bischoff, I will leave the wrestling world forever.
And the rest is just Flair, but
yeah.
And we almost overlooked Gene's. The best part was Gene's line.
He's lost control, or he rifled a Gucci shoe. Well, Flair was,
hey, he just rifled a Gucci shoe.
He was so good with Ric Flair, man. He was so good. That stretch was hilarious. My favorite was when he came out. This was, you know, the whole feud with Bischoff. Bischoff, by the way, Eric Bischoff, for those people who don't know, was the president and CEO, the guy who ran WCW. He was the Vince McMahon of WCW.
The on-screen authority figure, too.
Yeah, yeah. And so obviously they set up this whole thing, and Flair went nuts. And every week he'd come out on Nitro and lose his mind. Many times would take off his clothes and start running around. One of my favorite moments was a promo he was cutting, very similar to that one. Mean Gene being the straight man, feeding him, doing the professional, unbelievable job that Mean Gene always did.
Talk to me, Nature Boy.
Yeah, and Flair just losing it, going nuts. And he calls out Ted Turner because It could because Nitro was on TNT, which was owned by Ted Turner. And so he called on Ted Turner, and this was when Ted Turner was married to Jane Fonda. So he goes, let me say you something, Ted Turner. If you don't get Bischoff out of this company, I'm coming to get Fonda. And when she rides Space Mountain, you know, like he calls out Jane Fonda in the middle, and like and Bischoff is, or not Bischoff, and you know, and Gene is like, oh, when he mentions Jane Fonda's name, like the look on Mean Gene's face and the reaction. But that was one of the I almost fell off my. I'm coming to get Fonda. It's what Flair said. And when she rides Space Mountain, Space Mountain is him. That's when he has, you know, thousands of conquests. He says these women they've ridden Space Mountain.
Oldest ride, longest line.
Exactly. Oldest ride in the park, longest line. Oh, man. All right. Classic stuff. All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Bob Einstein, who was also known as Super Dave Osborne, he passed away. He was also Albert Brooks's older brother, and a huge loss to the world of comedy. Just, you know, on a performance level, on a writing level, every level, he was a hero, and he was one of my favorite people, one of the funniest people that ever lived. And he is the older brother of also one of the funniest people that ever lived. So we'll talk about that. And if you have any Super Dave memories or Bob Einstein memories or Curb Your Enthusiasm thoughts, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Three big deaths yesterday, and we wanted to pay tribute to these guys.
I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs.
There's Captain Antonio covering a little Barry Manilow, which is very appropriate in the 70s because those were two artists that were dominating everything. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. It's Nick DiGilio. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We had three really big entertainment deaths yesterday on the same day. Bob Einstein, which we're going to talk about, also known as Super Dave Osborne, he passed away. Mean Gene Okerlund from the world of wrestling, he passed away. And right back there, you heard a little Captain and Tennille, and Daryl Dragon, the captain of Captain and Tennille, passed away. All three men were 76 years old, and we're paying tribute to them. And we want to hear from you guys with your thoughts and memories about these three guys. 312-981-7200. Here's Jerry on WGN. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Daryl Dragon's father was a very famous musician, let's say in the 1940s.
Okay.
His name was Carmen Dragon, and I heard a lot of his name and his songs way back. And that was Daryl Dragon's father, Carmen Dragon. And if you look it up, you'll find out more about his father, who was a very famous musician.
I didn't know that.
Maybe in the 1940s.
I didn't know that. That's really it's really good information. So he was back in the 40s. The captain's father was a famous musician in his own right. Very cool. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm old, and I remember his name was all over the radio, and he had records, and his father was I don't know if he was just a piano player, an orchestra leader, or what. But Carmen Dragon was a very famous musician.
We'll look him up. Carmen Dragon. Okay, thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. So this is why I love my show, man, learning a bunch of stuff. Didn't know that Daryl Dragon's father was Carmen Dragon, who was a very famous musician. I also didn't know that Mean Gene Okerlund sold burgers in Minnesota. Oh, man. Here's Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Back in the day, and I didn't really watch all the time, but this was like a must-see. Captain and Tennille were on, and everybody always wondered if he was bald or if he had a full head of hair or whatever.
Yeah.
And in the show, when he says, he's going to remove his hat and get a haircut on the show. And I can remember that being, it was like watching Kiss with Walter Baker right. seeing him for the first time. That was, and now this is really because it's still stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And that's all the way from 1970. That was a big deal.
Yeah. It was. I remember that. I do. I remember that. And it was, I mean, it, you know, because he never took that thing off. He had that hat on all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
him and Gilligan's Island. That guy there with the captain.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah, all right, man. Good show.
Thank you, Jim. Take care. He's right. At one point in the 70s, the idea of seeing the captain take off his hat would be like seeing Kiss without their makeup. Be unheard of. Kiss did take off their makeup in the 80s, and I remember they did it on MTV, and it was a huge deal because they were going to finally take their makeup off. And this is in the 80s when Kiss, their record sales were in the toilet, and so they had to do something. And so the gimmick was they were going to take their makeup off, and they did have a few hits in the mid to late 80s when they went sort of like generic hair metal. And they dressed exactly like all the hair metal guys from the 80s did and poofed out their hair, did all that stuff that was really, really popular in the mid to late 80s when hair metal took over. So they did, and they sold some records. The biggest one, I think, was Lick It Up, which was
I remember that song.
Really big record. But I remember the one of the original MTV VJs, J.J. Jackson. J.J. Jackson. He was like the senior... he was the father figure of the original five VJs, because there was J.J. Jackson, there was Nina Blackwood, there was Mark Goodman, Alan Hunter, and then J.J. Jackson. And I, of course, said to everybody, you were either a Martha Quinn guy or a Nina Blackwood guy. I was a Martha Quinn guy. I loved Martha Quinn. I had such a crush on her. Anyway... J.J. Jackson was the host, and they were plugging it like crazy. They were like, Kiss, you're going to see Kiss without their makeup. You're going to see Kiss. It's monumental. It's stupendous. And they made a big deal out of it. Weeks and weeks and weeks, they were publicizing the hell out of it. And so then the night of it, J.J. Jackson's in the room with them, and, hey, it's J.J. Jackson. And are you ready to see Kiss without their makeup? And so they showed each guy, and they were covering you could just see their eyes. They were covering the bottom like surgical masks. They had on, and they went to each guy. And at that point, I can't remember. I know that Ace Frehley wasn't. I don't think Ace Frehley was in the band at that point. I don't even think. I don't think Ace was in the band either. I think it was just the two replacements. Whoever, because they went through a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
But Gene obviously and Paul, you know, were there, and so they would go past each guy. J.J. Jackson would say their name, and then they would go to the next guy, and next guy, and the next guy, and then when they were ready, they did like a countdown. And they all removed the surgical mask-like things that were covering their face. And then they played like a big sound effect. And they're like, but there was no audience or anything. This was when they were just doing I should have prefaced that. They did not have an audience. It was just in a television studio in New York. And JJ was the host. So they had like, you know, maybe five guys on the crew and JJ. So you would think that they would do it like in Madison Square Garden, you know, in front of thousands of people, but they just didn't. And it was like when they revealed it, it was nothing because there was nobody in the studio. So there wasn't like a big roar from the crowd or people going, none of that stuff. Just J.J. Jackson going, how about that, everybody?
Yeah, just a guy taking off a mask.
Yeah. Just four guys taking off a mask in front of J.J. Jackson. It's just a regular Tuesday. So... All right, we're going to take a break. The news is coming up after this, and then we're going to jump into the fantastic career of Bob Einstein, also known as Super Dave Osborne, and also known as the older brother of the great Albert Brooks, who also passed away yesterday. Not Albert Brooks, Bob Einstein. All right, break. News is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Of course, everybody recognizes that theme. It's Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Vic, Were you a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm? Did you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? And,
you know, wasn't that, what was that on, Showtime or
HBO?
So I didn't, okay, that's the one I didn't have then, because I always loved it when I would see little clips, but I didn't have HBO, and so therefore,
well,
I missed out.
It's a brilliant show, and like really
God,
funny.
It's hilarious.
And Bob Einstein, you remember Super Dave Osborne, right?
Man, I do. Loved
so
him.
So funny.
He was hilarious.
So funny.
Grew up with him,
killed every time he was on, but he was much more than Super Dave, you know.
Every time I saw him in anything else, he's hilarious.
Great writer, great performer, great actor. Bob Einstein, you know, a comedic hero to a lot of people, passed away yesterday at 76. And I got the New York Times obit here. Bob Einstein, whose career as a comedy writer, took a quirky turn into television acting as the hapless daredevil Super Dave Osborne. Every one of the stunts that he did was funny. And they all ended basically the same way. Like, it would be a disastrous stunt, and it would be an obvious dummy.
Right, right.
You know, inside the whatever, you know, vehicle he was in that smashes into a wall. and the character was so smug. Like, his appearances on Letterman were always classic. Like, always classic, whether he came out as Bob Einstein or Super Dave. Because for a long time, you know, nobody really knew his name. Everybody thought he was actually Dave Osborne. Nobody really knew, you know, the background, unless you were like a geeky super fan, of which I was. And when I found out, and you know, when I found out that, you know, a few years later, I found out that Super Dave Osborne was Albert Brooks's brother, and I remember completely freaking out. Like, what? Wait a minute, Super Dave Osborne is Albert Brooks's brother, and but his real name is Bob Einstein. And you can see, Vic, why Albert Brooks changed his last name.
Right.
Because he would have been Albert Einstein. Right. And so
there's a similarity in physical appearance between the two as well. It's not hard to tell the brothers when you realize it.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just so, like, the work that Albert Brooks was doing was so far removed from what Super Dave Osborne did. It was such a different kind of humor.
Can you imagine raising them as two young boys
now,
in your household?
Now, they're the son. Oh, man, why am I blanking on his name? They're the son of a famous comedian, like a famous comedian who worked the Catskills and everything, and I can't remember his name. Now, here's a story.
Harry Park.
Yeah, he had a nickname though. He had a nickname that he went by, but that was there. It was a family of comedy, Vic. Like the whole, you know, because this guy was a big time Catskill comedian, legendary.
Park Your Carcass.
That's it. There it is. Park Your Carcass. That's it. So that was their dad. Now, here's an incredible true story. This is one of the best incredible true showbiz stories of all time. Vic, this is for real. So Park Your Carcass was at a roast, like a big Friars roast, big crowd, big dais. He goes up to do his roast. He goes up to the podium to do his whatever 10 minutes of roasting, and gets up there and kills, like, just everybody falling on the floor laughing. Like, he had the entire room by the palm of his hand. Every single thing he said got a huge laugh. It was like the best 10 minutes ever. And the whole dais, everybody at the tables were laughing. The guy being roasted was falling over. And he completely killed. He finishes his 10 minutes. He goes back to the table to sit down in his seat, sits down, has a heart attack, dies right there.
Oh, I've heard you tell this story before.
It's a true story. It's a true story. And then, of course, everybody says he killed and then he died. There's, you know.
Right.
But that's a true story. And that is one of those stories that, you know, has been a part of Bob Einstein's life forever. And I had a guy who wrote a book called The Comedians, which is actually one of the best books about comedy ever written. It's called The Comedians. And it is thorough and amazing. And so he interviewed Bob Einstein in the book. And mentioned the story and said, that's pretty amazing, right? And Bob Einstein says, no, it's horrible. It was terrible. He had a heart attack. And he fell over. They had to have paramedics come in. Everybody was freaking out. He was convulsing. It's not funny. It's turned into a funny showbiz story, but it's not. It's a horrible story. That's what Bob Einstein said. about the story, but it is one of those legendary, like, if it wasn't true, you wouldn't believe. Be like, get out of here. The guy did not do that, kill for 10 minutes and then sit down and die. He didn't have a heart, but it's true. It's absolutely true story. But yeah, I loved his reaction in the book, and the comedians is like, he wanted to sort of, like, Bob Einstein was like, no, my father died that day. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. It was a horrible, horrible situation.
Can you imagine with the humors of these two brothers what they were thinking when that happened?
Oh my God.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I mean, really, unbelievable. And that's going to stand again, he had a nice long career, Bob Einstein. Albert Brooks still continues to have a great career. Although I'd like to see him make more movies, for God's sake. That story has trailed them forever. They've always been associated with one of the most insane true showbiz stories of all time. Yeah, but Bob Einstein would have none of it. It wasn't funny, man. It was a horrible, horrible situation. My father died. So no, it's not cute. It's not funny. So Bob Einstein passed away. He was 76, and he passed away at his home in Indian Wells, California. His manager, Lee Kernis, said that the cause was cancer. Mr. Einstein played Marty Funkhauser. God, that character is so funny. That would be Larry David's pal and occasional antagonist on Curb Your Enthusiasm, the long-running fictionalized version of Mr. David's life on HBO. Mr. Einstein's health precluded him from working on the series' 10th season, which is now in production. Mr. David said in a statement, "Never have I seen an actor enjoy a role the way Bob did playing Marty Funkhauser on Curb. There was no one like him, as he told us again and again. In a panel discussion by Curb cast members at the Paley Center for Media in Los Angeles, 2010, Mr. Einstein called that Mr. Davis that Mr. Davis had called him 2 years earlier to tell him that he was going to what was going to happen in the first episode of the coming season. He said, "Your mother dies," and I said, "Well, unfortunately, it's the truth. She just did die." And he said, "I'm not changing the script," and hung up. Larry David, man. Unlike Marty Funkhauser, Super Dave was something of a cartoon character, a witless, deadpan parody of bravado-fueled stuntmen like Evel Knievel. Dressed in a mostly white jumpsuit and a crash helmet, Super Dave attempted perilous stunts that invariably flopped and appeared to cause him great bodily harm. I deal out of a reality that isn't real, Mr. Einstein said in an interview with the New York Times in 95. I'm sorry, I don't know what that means. I really don't know what I do. Mr. Einstein had been a right on the writing staff at the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour in the late 60s before he first appeared as Super Dave on an episode of the John Biner Comedy Hour in 1972. The character returned in the 80s in a show called Bizarre, another television series that was hosted by Mr. Biner, and continued through various other incarnations, including Super Dave's Vegas Spectacular in 95, Super Dave's Spiketacular in 2009. He also showed up very frequently on late-night talk shows. As I said before, the appearances that he made on the Letterman show were classic. Stuart Robert Einstein, that's his name, was born November 2nd, 1942 in Los Angeles. His father, Harry, was a comedian, professionally known as Harry Park. His alter ego was a Greek character named Parky or Carcass. Mr. Einstein's mother was an actress named Thelma Leeds. His younger brother, Albert, eventually changed his name to Brooks and became a renowned comedian and filmmaker. A second brother, Cliff, is an advertising executive. "A brilliantly funny man," Mr. Brooks wrote on a Twitter, "and you will be missed forever." Mr. Einstein recalled his youth as a battle of wits among him and his father and Albert. "It was a funny way to grow up," he told the Times. "There weren't too many complete dinners in that house. If you get that kind of example, you're going to go and make your life humor. You're going to reject everything that you're living with." His father died in 1958 after performing at a Friars Club roast for Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. So that's who it was for. It was for Lucy and Desi. Mr. Einstein did not go into show business immediately after graduating Chapman College in California, where he played basketball. He joined an advertising agency where he wrote and directed TV commercials, which led him to an appearance on a talk show in Los Angeles where he was cast in a sketch as the man responsible for putting the stars on the sidewalk on Hollywood Boulevard, a task that made him susceptible to bribery. Mr. Einstein's dry delivery piqued the interests of Tom Smothers, who offered him a job on the series that he hosted with his brother Dick. Mr. Einstein wrote for the Smothers Brothers Show in 1968, the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour from 1968 to 1969. While there, he occasionally played Officer Judy, a no-nonsense, humorless cop who once rode a motorcycle on stage and gave Liberace a ticket. Do you know how fast you were playing? Hello. Through the 70s, he wrote for shows hosted by Pat Paulson, Ken Berry, Sonny and Cher, the Hudson Brothers, and Lola. God, he wrote for the Hudson Brothers. And Lola Falana. He also appeared on TV and occasionally in movies, including as a sporting goods salesman in his brother Albert's film, Modern Romance. All right, we're going to break, and when we come back, we're going to hear that scene. It's Bob Einstein playing a shoe salesman / sporting goods salesman in the great Albert Brooks film, Modern Romance. We have the scene, and he's only in one scene. That's the only scene that he appears in the movie, Bob Einstein, and he is hilarious, and the byplay between these two guys is spectacular. It'll lose a little bit because we're only going to hear it, because visually it's very funny as well, but you'll get the idea. I'll set the whole thing up when we come back. Again, we're going to hear the infamous and hilarious scene between Bob Einstein and Albert Brooks in Modern Romance. We'll do that after we break here. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. And a little bit later on, we're going to run down some of the biggest entertainment stories of 2018. Right now, we're remembering the three gentlemen who passed away yesterday in the world of entertainment. Mean Gene Okerlund from WWE Wrestling, the captain from Captain and Tennille, Dale Dragon, and we're talking right now about Bob Einstein, who was also Super Dave Osborne and so much more. We're going to play a clip from the one scene that he's in Albert Brooks, his younger brother Albert Brooks, made a film called Modern Romance back in 1981, and I'll set the clip up, but first let's say hi to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Nick. You stole my thunder. I was going to reference Bob Einstein as Officer Judy on the Smothers Brothers, and arguably a member of one of the greatest writing teams as far as the Smothers Brothers writing staff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Steve Martin was on that writing staff.
Bob Reiner was another one.
Yeah, it rivaled your show of shows as like a room full of unbelievably talented writers. And the writing on that show was amazing. And he won an Emmy for his writing on the Smothers Brothers, Bob Einstein.
I love your show. I have insomnia. I should be sleeping, but I tune in and your show's so interesting, then I struggle to go back to sleep.
Oh.
I would also like to mention, I'm in the Martha Quinn camp, the Mary Ann camp, and the Betty camp as well.
There you go. We agree on all of that, Jeff. And I'm sorry about your insomnia, but I'm glad we can keep you entertained, okay?
Oh, you do a great job.
Thank you. I wish
I'd known about you when I was younger.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
Bye, Nick.
Bye. See ya. Oh, man. Okay, well, so Bob Einstein, again, was in Albert Brooks' Modern Romance. He's only in one scene. Now, in this scene that we're going to play, and it's really one of my favorite comedy scenes in any movie, and it's between these two brilliant and funny brothers. So the scene was written by Albert Brooks, and he cast his brother in the role. And what happens is Albert Brooks just dumped his girlfriend for like the 90th time. That's what the movie's about. The movie's about relationships where you break up, you get back together, you break up, you get back together. It's really a scary and accurate movie. Like it really knows the world of dating and the games that people play. So anyway, at this point, he had just broken up. This is very early in the movie. He breaks up with his girlfriend, played by the beautiful Catherine Harold. And so he wants to restart his life. You know, he wants to, all right, I'm going to have a new beginning. I'm going to have a new life. He checks his cabinet in his apartment if he's got vitamins, because he hasn't taken vitamins. He wants to start being healthy now. So he wants to get healthy and start a whole new life and forget about the girl that he loves, forget about Mary, and just change his life completely. And of course, that doesn't happen at all. And he ends up getting back with her, and then they break up again. And that's what the movie's about. But it's this unhealthy stuff that happens in relationships. And the movies, I got to say this, in addition to being brilliantly funny, it's also accurate and really, sometimes really hard to watch. Like, you watch it and go, oh, God, you know. All right, so this scene in the movie, Albert Brooks leaves his apartment, finds out that he's out of vitamins, and his vitamin E, all of his vitamin E is stuck together in a ball because he hasn't taken it in years, so it's all stuck together, and he's like, I got to get some new E. So first he goes to the health food store, and you know, walks in and tells the guy in the health food store, yeah, listen, I just broke up with someone. And I want to start a new life. Letting people know that he broke up with someone. And so then the guy behind the counter tells him what vitamins he's going to need for a breakup. He gets the vitamins, goes out, and then stops into a sporting goods store because he wants to take up running. He wants to get into shape. He's going to get up earlier. He's going to stop eating bad foods. He's going to take vitamins, and he's going to run. And he's going to run, so he stops in a sporting goods store to buy some running shoes. And the salesman, as you'll hear, is Bob Einstein, and this is the scene.
How you doing?
Fine, how are you?
How do I look?
You look fine.
Get this. I'm in great shape. How about yourself?
I'm all right.
Okay, you're a new runner, huh?
Why, I look out of shape?
No, it's just that you're looking at cheap stuff. This is not serious running stuff.
Why?
Well, they put everything in one box, and then they knock the price down. You buy it, you wind up bringing it back.
Oh. All right, well, I am serious. Here's the thing. I just broke up with somebody, and I'm trying to start a new life, and I feel that running should be a major part of it.
You want happiness? Get away from the box. Come over here. What size shoe do you wear?
11D.
You're a lucky man. I got one left. It's the best we got.
$50. This whole box is 70. I mean, isn't this a lot for just shoes?
Those shoes are made out of old tires. Is that the way you want to start your new life?
No, all right, I'll take these.
Good choice.
I'll try them on.
No, you don't have to. That's the beauty of them. They're guaranteed to fit. If they don't, bring them back. Okay, sweats. I'm 6'4". What are you, about 5'11"?
I'm 6 feet.
Okay, how do you like these?
Pretty nice.
$75.
Oh, that's too expensive. I don't think, I mean, that's expensive.
I got cheaper stuff, but if you're sweating it, you get a skin rash.
All right. Well, I'll take this.
Take them? Okay. Yeah. You'll need two. That's 150.
No, no, no. Why? Wait. I'll take one. I don't want two.
What are you going to do if one's in the wash?
Maybe I won't run that day.
I misjudged you. I'm not perfect. Buy the box. You'll like it.
No, 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 no. It's all right. I'll take these.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, then. Let's get some other little things. You'll need socks. You probably don't have salt tablets, do you?
No.
Okay, we got 50. This should be enough salt tablets. We got ankle weights, headband, sweatband, supporters. You have any supporters? Okay, I'll get you three of those and a wrist wallet.
Wait, what's a wrist wallet?
Where are you going to carry your money? You going to run broke?
No, but there's a zipper in this thing here.
Yeah, it's better to keep it on your wrist.
Okay.
Okay.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And physically, it's really funny looking at Albert Brooks while there's a pile of stuff that Bob Einstein has put in his arms to sell him. And by the way, the size of the bottle of the salt tablets.
Huge jug of salt tablets.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. I think my favorite line, and I mean, there's a bunch of great lines, but I think you're going to run broke. it's really one of my favorite scenes ever. Oh, my God. Is that funny? All right, here is Robert on WGN. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Happy New Year, Nicholas.
Thank you, buddy.
And to your parents as well. I met him last year, and I told him a bunch of the jokes that your father has told on this air.
Oh, my God!
Oh, yeah. And I can't tell probably 90% of the jokes. We sat for like 4 or 5 hours at lunch just shooting jokes back, and I'm not a joke teller until I hurt your father.
Yeah,
and I remember and I comprehend most of them, and you have to be able to repeat a joke quickly in order for it to be good.
Yeah,
you can't carry on. And then I told a bunch of Buddy Hackett jokes, and he said I knew Buddy real well.
Yeah,
and I you've told some Buddy Hackett jokes on the air, and we just. And I'm telling you, 90% of them I could never say on the air. But
yeah.
Oh my God!
You know, first of all, where did you meet him?
Well, my brother lives in California.
Yeah,
And she knows a bunch of, you know, I mean, I know a couple of movie stars that live here, and she knows a whole bunch of folks out there.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
And it's just one thing, and he don't, my brother knows Jerry Seinfeld pretty well, and it just, it I don't know how it came about, but, you know, when I met him and I knew it, I go, you were on, you know, two comedians getting coffee with Jerry Seinfeld. He goes, yeah, I was the only one on there for the second. And I go, but most of the jokes you told were jokes that, you know, and he goes, oh, I got a whole bunch of them. And I go, let's hear them.
Yeah,
and
there you go. Just, that's fantastic.
We had so much. But he's so, you know, and a year ago, he was so fast, so quick.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't tell one without him telling three or four more on top of it. Mm. He had a top yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. I asked him about his series and, you know, the TV series that he had when he did a bunch of comedian act, you know. And he said that a lot of the stuff he got from movies from the 20s and 30s.
Wow.
That actually, and just a sweetheart of it. And, you know, again, I'm nobody.
Yeah.
So, well, that's, for him to spend time like that, he was just such a sweet man.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great story. And I adore the fact that you told a couple of my dad's jokes to Bob Einstein.
Oh, God,
that's,
all your dad's jokes are good.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call.
All right. Take God care. Bless you guys.
All right, buddy, take care. That's you know what? That's amazing. Bob Einstein heard some of my dad's jokes.
That's awesome.
That's really, I mean, that's amazing. and he was a great joke teller, Einstein. He was. And he was on an episode of, well, he's been on many episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but the episode where they, that string of episodes where they're doing another finale for Seinfeld just so Larry David could cast Cheryl, that's the only reason that he did it. Well, when they're on the set, and Funkhauser walks up to meets Jerry Seinfeld, tells the filthiest joke, the also unbelievably hilarious joke, but filthy. Oh, my God. That's so funny. All right. We're going to break. Rest in peace to all three of these gentlemen. And Bob Einstein, Super Dave Osborne, a personal like hero of mine. And that was a great way to end it, knowing that Bob Einstein actually heard some of my dad's jokes.